God is good. God is good. God is good. Can you help me say that a little bit? God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. Christ is King. Christ is King. Christ is King. Oh, yes. Christ is King. Christ is King. One more time, help me say it. Christ is King. Oh, yes, you are. Christ is King. Oh, yes. Christ is King. Christ is King.
Get personal. You're my King.
You're my King.
Just worship him a little bit. You're my King.
You're my King. Oh, yes, you are. You're my King. You're my King.
Now, I come from a tradition. Sometimes we clap our hands and give God praise after moments like that. Can we give God a hand clap of praise in that moment? And I ain't even said who I was or nothing, but thank you for allowing me to worship with you today. My name is Reverend Rod Hines, pastor at Shepherd of the Valley in West Hill. So honored to be with you this evening. So honored to stand in the place where your pastor preaches every week. I see it's a little burned up here, all the fire that happens, amen. I'm going to try to give a little something, you know, because I'm not KD. I'm not KD. I'll just be myself if that's all right. You know, I saw the pianist walk away from the keyboard. I'm like, what's he leaving for? He about to do some work. I apologize, sir. So let's get to it. Let's get to it, y'all. Today, I usually don't call them sermons. I call them messages of hope. Ever since COVID, I've been stuck in that place. It's okay. You can cough. It's all right. It means people in the room. And so our message of hope for today is a simple statement or a testimony of our faith. And as I still want to be like Christ, I still want to be like Christ. The good news today is that Jesus is the kind of King who uses his power not to save himself, but to forgive his enemies and open paradise to sinners, so that even at our worst, his grace still has the final word. Amen. Would you pray with me, dear God? Thank you for seeing us. Thank you for hearing us. Now, God, speak a word into our hearts and minds that further reveals your precious Son to us even the more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, back in the day, back in the 90s, anybody remember the 90s? There was a commercial campaign to promote a sports drink. You might have heard of it, Gatorade. You might have heard of Gatorade before, yes? Let me help you now. The more amens I get, the quicker you get out. So for those of you who are quiet people, I'm not that person. If you say amen, that means you get closer to your dinner, you get closer to being home. So I'm just letting you know now. All your quiet will not help me. He's trying to focus. No. Go ahead and say what you need to say. And so in promoting this this wonderful sports drink, they used a simple phrase. It was, I want to be like Mike, right? Now, the Mike that they're referring to is not Michael Jackson. It was a young man by the name of Michael Jordan. Anybody ever heard of Michael Jordan? Ever? Yeah. You might wonder, well, why Mike, right? Before there was a LeBron James, who some says is the GOAT, there was and is a Michael Jordan. And young athletes like LeBron James all over the world wanted to be like Mike, shoot like Mike, play like Mike, lead their teams like Mike. You might wonder, well, why like Mike? Well, he had a few stats, if you don't mind me sharing right quick. Jordan holds higher career and peak rankings in advanced statistics like player efficiency rating, box plus minus and win shares. Jordan averages more points per game and leads and steals per game and blocks per game. Jordan has a higher free throw percentage and a higher field goal percentage. He is undefeated in 6 NBA Finals appearances, winning 6 final MVPs, and has a higher playoff PER. That's a GOAT. Amen. Everybody wanted to be like Mike. With stats like that, who wouldn't? You may be asking, why speak of him this evening? I lift him up because just like all of us, Mike had some moments where we didn't want to be like Mike. And this is not that moment when I begin to bash him, because the truth is we all have stuff that if it went up on this screen, God forbid, amen. This is not that moment when I begin to bash him and become critical of his life. But it is that moment that I have to say Mike had some rough moments, and he had his publicly. So rough that when I began to look for some of the tragedies and heard from his own lips his story, I said to myself, I don't want to be like Mike. I'm turning the corner. In our gospel today, Jesus faces one of the most difficult moments in his life and story. Yet I have to testify that I still, even though I heard all of that, still want to be like Christ. I still want to be like Christ the King. Yet there is a problem. At the skull, at the hill, Rome and religion agree on one thing. Jesus does not look like a king. Soldiers mock him. Religious leaders sneer. A sign above his head turns his title into a joke. This is the King of the Jews. Because truth is, power is usually defined as the ability to win, crush, and control. A crucified king looks like a failed Messiah. One criminal joins the chorus of contempt. Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Revealing a heart that wants a king who performs for his survival, not a savior who gives himself away. Can I go deeper? The deeper problem is not just that Jesus is rejected. It is that the human heart does not recognize kingship shaped like a cross. Luke's gospel has been announcing a kingdom of reversal all along, lifting the lowly, scattering the proud. Good news for the poor and release for the captives. But on Golgotha, the powers of this world insist that violence, humiliation, and domination are the final truth. Bonhoeffer put it like this: a king who dies on the cross must be the king of a rather strange kingdom. Problem is, Jesus Christ does not look like a king. Yet I still testify, I still want to be like Christ. You might wonder, well, why is this problem being lifted up today, Pastor? Why are you saying this? Well, in the United States, power is still often measured in the language of winning. Winning elections, winning culture wars, winning arguments online. The loudest voice, the strongest platform, the toughest brand are treated as kings. Communities are polarized by fear, mistrust, racial and economic injustice, and a constant temptation to seek safety by finding an enemy to blame. The desire for a savior who will save yourself and us by defeating our opponents and confirming our tribe is alive and well. I could preach a good 10 minutes right there. I'm going to stick to my notes, amen. In that climate, a crucified king who prays, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing," feels not only strange but offensive. The cross confronts all of us, left and right, rich and poor, church and none, with the question, do we really want a king who forgives those we want punished? Do we really want a king who welcomes those we'd rather exclude? Do we really want a king who calls us to love even our enemies? You might say, well, Pastor, what's the good news? The good news, right, what is the good news? The good news is into that problem, the crucified Christ speaks a word of amazing grace. Today, you will be with me in paradise. From the cross, one criminal hurls abuse, the other confesses, we indeed have been condemned justly, and then prays the simplest of prayers. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus does not ask for proof of goodness. Jesus did not ask for a long record of service or even a perfect theology. He gives a promise, Bethel. Bethel, this is pure gospel. Justification by grace through faith apart from works of the law. Calvin, reflecting on this thief, stresses how far Christ's mercy reaches. The man is guilty, condemned near death, with nothing to offer but a desperate plea, and yet receives the fullness of Christ's kingdom. Can I stay right there for a minute? He doesn't have to come in with a pedigree or an amazing resume. This helps because it tells the truth about us, our sin, our complicity, our inability to save ourselves, and yet also the deeper truth that nothing, not even our worst failures or the chaos of our nation, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'll say that again. Not even our worst failures or the chaos of our nation or the stuff that you can fill in the blank of your own life, amen, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I apologize to the sound man. I have a big mouth. Amen. Howard Thurman once wrote of Jesus speaking to the little flock that the heart of the universe is pleased to give them a new world. And he called oppressed people to risk even their fragile security for the sake of God's just kingdom. That is what happens on the cross. Jesus opens a new world. Precisely for those who have no power, who have no status, no future of their own. The king takes his throne on a cross so that no one can say someone like me is too far gone. Bonhoeffer reminds us that only those who understand the paradox of the cross can understand Jesus' claim. My kingdom is not of this world. That does not mean Christ's reign is unreal. It means his reign does not operate by the usual scripts of domination and revenge. For a country exhausted by violence, anxiety, and endless striving, a king whose glory is forgiveness, whose power is mercy, is not just good news. It is the only news that can break the cycle. For those who are wondering, how are we going to break this cycle? It's the only news that can change the world. It's the only news that can heal cynical and broken hearts. It's the only news that shines a light so strong that lives are changed and hope is reimagined. I dare to say that is good news. I need you to take that home with you, not just leave it in the room right now. Take it home to your family. Take it home to that neighbor that you don't like that much. Oh, let me get back to my notes. The ones who always park in front of your house. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get back. You're like, you got your own. Okay, stop. We're called to extend amazing grace, not just wave hands in worship about it. Amen. On Christ the King Sunday, Luke shows us that the true king reigns from a cross. Remembering sinners, forgiving enemies, and opening paradise to the least likely so that grace, not guilt, not fear, not our failures, gets the last word over our lives and our world. That's why I say I still want to be like Christ. Only have one point and an ending. Y'all been doing good, so you keep doing that and we'll be out of here in a moment. Amen. Amen. The point that I need you to get today is this. Receive the King who forgives enemies. Receive the King who forgives enemies. Christ's kingship is first revealed in a prayer. Father, forgive them, right? For they do not know what they are doing. Bethel, this is not a minor detail, but the center. God's very character is mercy, shown most clearly in the cross. Jesus does what he has always preached, loving enemies, blessing those who curse, praying for those who abuse. And he does it not from a safe distance, but from the wood of execution. If there was ever a time that we're called to receive this, it's now. In a country that is definitely polarized, in a moment where we're consistently traumatized by the social media and the news that we listen to. It doesn't matter whether it's Fox or Channel 4, it does not matter. There's some trauma that we receive, and we are living through it. But in this moment, I need us to lean and understand that leaning means walking in this faith that we say we believe in. Walk it every day, even when you don't want to walk it, even when it gets on your nerves. Because I dare to say, as much as I still want to be like Christ, doesn't mean I always like what Christ has to say, amen. But in us receiving it, it gives us power that's unimaginable. A power to not only transform inwardly, but to show the world that this whole thing called Christianity is not just about pageantry and great songs. It's about a life that's lived in peace in the midst of chaos. Amen. Receive the King who forgives enemies. So when all is said and done, this good news presses a question into the heart. In a world obsessed with winning, do you still want to be like Christ? Not Jesus, the one who some see only as Savior who heals or a genie granting wishes, but Jesus, the crucified King, who forgives enemies, remembers criminals, and reigns from a cross. The psalmist declares God is our refuge and our fortress, right? A very present help in time of, someone read their Bible, that's all right. Though the earth should change. Though the mountains shake, that sounds like our moment, doesn't it? The earth of our politics is shaking. The mountains of our institutions are quaking. The waters of our public life are roaring and foaming. But right into that song, God speaks a word that is also a word for this day. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. So when the news makes hearts race, say it, I still want to be like Christ. Oh, y'all did good. Y'all look good. I can take y'all someplace. We can go do some stuff. When the culture tells the church, save yourself. Save yourself and us by grabbing more power or more influence or more control. The answer is, I still want to be like Christ. The one who refused to come down, refused to retaliate, refused to stop forgiving. When neighbors are divided by race, class, zip code, immigration status, say, I still want to be like Christ. The one who made a condemned criminal the first citizen of his kingdom. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. That is not a call to misery. It is an invitation into a different kind of power. The power of love stronger than death, mercy deeper than sin, hope louder than the mockery of this age. We are reminded that the church, that the kingdom of this crucified King is not of this world. Yet it claims this world in costly, concrete obedience. Howard Thurman tells the disinherited that the heart of the universe has given them a new world. And Calvin points to a dying thief and says, see how far grace can go. Bethel, as believers, you and I are called to live under the rule of the King so that the world can see the difference his reign makes in our lives. And so on this day, with the cross before our eyes and the thief's prayer on our lips, let this be the church's confession in a restless nation. I still want to be like Christ, the King who forgives, the King who remembers, the King who reigns from a cross, the King that shows compassion, the King who stands in humility, the King who says, today you will be with me in paradise, the King that says all are welcome at the table, the King who is still reaching out even when we turn away, that King is the one that we say, that we testify and say, I still want to be like Christ. Amen. 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 Give God some praise right there.